Okay, well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 6. We will finish off this chapter today. We're starting at verse 53. Mark 6, starting at 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched were healed. Were healed. Amen. It's interesting to think about the idea of knowing somebody, right? Because I think in our world, we have different levels of intimacy with people, right? I mean, I say I know the cashier of a Quick Trip. That means I know her name, I've seen her a couple of times, right? And sometimes we make assumptions about our level of knowing that may not be correct. For instance, many, 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 many years ago, when I was a much, much younger man, before I was married, and I was at a conference in Colorado of campus ministers. And there's a young woman from California who was there that, well, let's just be honest here, caught my eye. I thought she was pretty. She seemed very nice when she spoke. Her heart for ministry was wonderful. I thought, I would like to, you know, maybe know this person. I think we would get along, right? And that week went on. I did have an opportunity one time was to just sit and have a cup of coffee with her as she was in this cafeteria. We got talking. And I realized I did not know this woman. She was condescending. She was very prideful. She had this idea that there was California and then the rest of the country. She asked me if I had electricity in my small town in northern Minnesota. And I realized I did not know her. I did not know her at all. And I think that is something we need to be careful of. Now, Mark, in his narrative here, as he's been taking us along, we saw 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus walking on the water. And what happened when he was going by them, and when the disciples saw him, who did they see? That's my question today, is when Jesus passes by, who do you see? When they saw him on the water, you think, oh, they saw their Savior. They saw the guy who, back in chapter 6, is the Lord of the sea and all its chaos and can just with a word calm it. But they didn't. They didn't recognize him. They were terrified. And then when he got in and he did calm things, they were like surprised. They were amazed. They didn't understand. And they didn't recognize him. So today, we're going to see a contrast. And I think I have to imagine that Mark is very intentional here in this contrast and how he's putting it, because it is stark. Now, first, I will just start off as we looked at this, and this is just a little side note, kind of a bonus, you know, aside from the main point. But it was interesting that in that first verse, verse 53, they crossed over the land at Gennesaret and anchored there. Now, again, this is not like deep spiritual stuff here, but so Gennesaret, if you just geographically speaking. So they were heading for Bethsaida, which is the very top of the Sea of Galilee. And the Gennesaret is down further. Okay? So most commentators think they probably in that storm where it was going on, the winds kind of got blown off course. Right? They got blown off course. So here's just my thought. This is just maybe, you know, coffee cup theology. But here it is. I'd rather be off course with Jesus than on course without him. Right? So take that for what it's worth. There you go. Put it on a coffee cup or a t-shirt. It'll be good. But I got these things happening, right? Okay. As we continue. They get off the boat. And what do we see? As soon as he got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. Now, I already mentioned, when the disciples saw him earlier on the lake, they saw a ghost. They were terrified. Their hearts, Mark said, were hardened. But in verse 54, the recognition is by the crowds. Now, we've seen already that crowds are not always put in a positive light, right? Sometimes they're a hindrance, they're annoying. You know, Jesus wants to do things, he wants to get some rest, and they don't let him, okay? But we also see time after time that when these crowds come, that Jesus loves them. That took priority. It took priority, even his own needs that he had sometimes. Jesus loved the crowds. And so we had this contrasting recognition. Disciples saw a ghost and were scared. The people saw a man who loved them. Is that how you see Jesus today? When you think of Jesus, do you first think, there's a man who loves me, who knows me? That's the Jesus we see here. That is the recognition that Mark contrasts with us. Now, a second contrast is a contrast of reactions. Again, when he was on the water, their reaction, the disciples, was of terror. That they didn't see him, they didn't remember, they didn't learn from all that they've been taught so far. Again, this is the man that calmed the sea with a word, and they forgot. The ones who should have known, the ones who were close to him all the time, heard him speak, not just in the teaching times, but during their meals, and as they're walking, they're with him, right next to him all the time. And then they're the ones that didn't get it. They didn't see him. Who do you see when you see Jesus? Now the crowds, they saw a man who could help them. They saw a man who loved him and could do something with it. And all these problems they had, and the reaction is amazing. They came for healing. They knew that Jesus could do this. Now, one could say, and some do, that the crowds are being selfish. They're just coming to get something they want. That there should be some deeper spiritual understanding here of salvation. Yeah, probably. But we see how Jesus reacts to them. And if you remember, when Jesus went to his hometown, remember what happened? He couldn't do the healings. Back in chapter 4, he couldn't. And why? Why was it? Do you remember why? They didn't have faith. But here, when these crowds came, just touching the edge of his clothing would be healed. I mean, I'm not just power radiating off of him. And why was that? They believed. Now, their depth of belief, their understanding, did they get all the doctrine? Did they figure everything out? No! They said, this is a guy. And I believe, and I know that if I can just get to him and touch him, I'll be healed. And also, think of this reaction, because we see not only a contrasting recognition, we not only see a contrasting reaction, we have contrasting concerns here. The disciples, when confronted with the crowds and they needed food, what was their answer? Lord, send them away. That was their reaction. That was how their concern for the people was. But when Jesus, and people see him, when people see who Jesus, the real Jesus, the man who's King of God and flourishing and healing, and what is their reaction? They run everywhere they could, and they grabbed everybody they could. And if there was a person, they were lame, they'd pick him up. And they just figure out where Jesus was. They sent him the road, they sent him the marketplace, just for the hope that Jesus would walk by and they could touch him. And when they did, they were healed. Every single one. They carried the sick. They were concerned. Their reaction to Jesus was not just inward, but outward. When they met the real Jesus, their eyes were opened up to those around them who needed him too. These people begged Jesus, please, please, please come to this person. I know, Lord, that they can be healed by you. and love the picture. This is a kingdom of God picture, right? That's our big theme in this book, is God's kingdom. And so this is a picture of just absolute abundance. That you, when you meet Jesus, you don't have to keep him to yourself. There's more than enough. Way more than enough. There's flourishing and healing and abundance, and there's no hunger, right? This is the kingdom of God. More than enough. The disciples, I think, when they're thinking of Jesus, were trying to keep him in. Their agendas. Protect what's mine. I want to lose it. So, with these contrasts, the question I have for us is, who do we see? This Jesus that we are proclaiming, right? The churches that we go to, the jewelry wear, is Jesus. Now, we have the negative example in the disciples, the insiders who were supposed to know, even the Pharisees, teachers of the law, who should know better. And yet, we see over and over that they often had their own agendas, that their picture of what the kingdom of God was narrow and selfish. You know, not us, not them, us. In all these views of Jesus, in our situation today, right? I mean, we have cultural, sociological, political, economic issues that we deal with. And we see Jesus often through a certain lens. We have to be careful. Who do we see? It's natural for people to want to conform their lives around their perspectives, who they think they are, and the things that are important to them. And people do that with Jesus, right? All the time. They want the Jesus that is in my image. So, they may like, you know, compassionate Jesus. I don't like them. Or, but some say, oh no, I like the wrathful Jesus. I like the one that, law and order. Or they may like the radical Jesus. Some way like the meek Jesus. Some really like the revolutionary Jesus. Or the political Jesus. Or the accepting Jesus. Or the judgmental Jesus. The social justice Jesus. The salvation Jesus. And which one do we see? Which one should we see? I would argue this. All and none. All and none. It's Jesus. The kingdom of God, Jesus. And any expectations that we might have about what Jesus should be. This is awful. Will Ferrell, comedian, made an awful movie called Telegate Day and Nights. I do not recommend you see it. It's awful. It's stupid. But, and I have the misfortune of having seen it. But, I will say this. There's a situation there, and they're talking about Jesus. And they're, you know, and he said, oh, I like that Jesus. I like the baby Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus. That's the Jesus I want. In this goofy movie. But that's how it was. It's Southern culture, and they're talking about Jesus, right? Who do we see Jesus? What's the one that we want? Is Jesus that we are following conform to all of my opinions and things that I want to see done in this world? And if he does, we might want to question that. Because wherever Jesus went, he often rubbed against what was going on in the politics or the culture or the expectations. And we often see that some are quick to point out that the crowds in their center see Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, so that's what's more important. And there's others who say, oh, no. We see over and over that Jesus fed people and cared for people. And we narrow Jesus into what we think is important. Right? So if I think it's important that, you know, people stand up for themselves and, you know, take care of themselves and buck it up and pick up whatever, then my Jesus would say, hey, you know, If you don't work, you won't eat, and you know those kind of things, and you know, tough. You know, I'm not gonna. You got to take care of yourself, right? And you get the other, and We could probably find that Jesus here. And then you have people say, oh, no. Jesus, look, he fed the 5,000. He didn't say, ask him, hey, do you have a job? He just fed him. You know, he healed him. He didn't ask them, I mean, are you taking care of your family? Are you a good person? He just had power and they believed him and he just did it. Which Jesus we want to follow? Both. Neither. That's the struggle that we have. That we have to constantly search ourselves and search these scriptures and say, I want to follow this Jesus. Not the one that might be claimed by, you know, a movement or a political party or a whatever me, you know, or a particular church or particular denomination, right? They all seem to have a slightly different Jesus. And our responsibility, our desire, I pray, is that we want to sort through all that and just be that one that I sit at his feet. And he loves me. As he spoke of grace, God's grace. That's the Jesus I want to know. I want to, if I see him in my troubles on that sea that's blowing against me, I don't want to be afraid. And I want to know the Jesus that so inspires my heart. I want everyone I know to know who he is. And I want, you know, a Jesus that I'm willing to just run down the street and yell out, hey, come and see. I don't think I know that Jesus quite enough yet. I really don't. I get to an end day sometimes and I feel ashamed. I go, what have I done today, Lord? Who did I tell? What proofs do I have? This is me. I'm not put a hammer down, but that's what I want. I want to be like this crowd. I don't want to be like disciples in the boat. No, I'd like to be disciples later on when the Holy Spirit falls and they're kind of getting it, right? But right now, I'd rather be the crowd and see and understand that Jesus, the Jesus of abundance and flow and faith. And I think that's how it works, folks. Right? I think we invite Jesus. We invite people. Say, come and follow him. Just come and follow him. You will not believe this guy. You will not believe what he's offering. You will not believe the life that we live together because we follow Jesus. That's the Jesus I want to follow. Jesus always had compassion, always had grace, he always responded to faith. So who do you see? When you came in here, who was the Jesus you were looking for? Is the primary Jesus in your life the one that you check the box so that you won't go to hell? Is he that cute little baby at Christmas time? Is he the mighty, majestic Jesus coming down on a white horse to slay his enemies? Is he the Jesus that is hanging on a cross crying out, paying the price for our sins? Is he the Jesus that you were willing to run around and yell at the top of your lungs for people to come to see? This is the kingdom of God, Jesus. This is the abundant, flourishing, life-giving, inspirational Jesus that we want to form. It is the cruciform Jesus, the selfless, the humble, the sacrificial Jesus. That's what we want to follow. So ask yourself even now, what Jesus do you see now and today? What Jesus do you want to see? And seek after him. Now I'm going to try something here.
The song, a guy named Larry Norman, called The Outlaw. And I know the song, I haven't sung it in years, but it's very simple. And so I'm pretty sure that I can sing it. So as I'm singing this, again, ask yourself, what Jesus do you see? Some say he was an outlaw, that he roamed across the land with a band of unschooled ruffians and a few old fishermen. No one knew just where he came from or exactly what he'd done, but they said it must be something bad that kept him. Some say he was a poet, that he sang upon the hill, that his voice could calm an angry crowd and make the waves stand still, that he spoke in many parables that few could understand, but the people sat for hours just to listen to that man. Some say he was a sorcerer, a man of mystery, yet he could walk upon the water, that he could make a blind man see, that he conjured wine at weddings and did tricks with fish and bread, that he talked of being born again and raised people from the dead. Some say a politician who spoke of being free. He was followed by the masses on the shores of Galilee. He spoke out against corruption and he vowed to know decree. And they feared his strength and power, so they nailed him to a tree. Some say he was the Son of God, a man above all men, that he came to be a servant and to set us free from sin. And that's who I believe is, because that's who I believe. And I think we should get ready, because it's time for us to leave.
Heavenly Father, help us to see. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. We want to see you. The Jesus who loves us. The Jesus who cares and fulfills and flourishes. God, we love you. I pray that more and more and more we would see you. Help us to not attempt and try to conform you to us, our needs, our desires, our views, our beliefs, but to conform our wills to yours. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as in heaven, in our hearts as in your heart. And we thank you. In Jesus' name.